for the month of June, and we have both for our international mission and our North American mission. And go ahead and hold on to those. These are a great reminder of how to pray for the missions both here at home and overseas that are going on. And it's always also a great way to keep in mind and keep aware of what we're doing to plant churches here in the United States and in Canada, as well as send missionaries overseas and plant churches there as well. And today is graduation Sunday. Last week was confirmation Sunday. Now we get to celebrate again those who are graduating. So big congratulations go to Greta, Alyssa, Bethany, and Jenica. Congratulations, guys, on your graduations. We'll be praying that God has all blessings for you as you proceed into the future, whatever that might hold for you guys. So congratulations, and please join us after the service today in the fellowship hall as we join together and celebrate. And a reminder, too, that the Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship will be, instead of meeting here, we'll be meeting at Alyssa's graduation party, and that'll be at 3 o'clock today. But that is also open to the whole congregation. Everybody here is invited to celebrate Alyssa's graduation, and Dan's address is listed in the bulletin there, if you're planning on going. Great big thank you to all of you who supported the youth in going to Worldview Academy camp. All funds that we needed to send them have now been raised. And so thank you for making that happen. Your generosity is very much appreciated. And this will be an excellent experience for these kids once again to go to that. Reminder about Family Bible Camp, that's less than a month away. If you haven't already, grab a registration form from the back there, get that filled out, and put it in the basket or give it right to me. And that way we'll make sure we've got a good list of names who are going. We'll make sure we have all the food we need to feed everyone and get everybody situated in whatever cabins or spots that they need to stay for the nights. Also, we're needing volunteers for the kitchen at camp, and there's a sign-up sheet on the main bulletin board there. If you can help out in the meal prep, please do sign up for that. We always need and appreciate more hands in the kitchen to make that happen. And just a reminder, too, that the VBS date has been set for July 30th through August 3rd. And we're always in need of volunteers for that as well. And so if that's something you'd like to help out, and I hope you would help out with that. It's always a great time. It's fun working with these kids and teaching and entertaining them. But do see Greg if you're able to help out with VBS. A reminder, too, that the baby bottles for the Lifeline Pregnancy Center's yearly drive are available in the back there as well by the women's bulletin board. That's where you just grab one of those baby bottles, you take it home, throw your spare change in it between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and that is a huge fundraiser for them. And they, of course, do excellent work in our community here with those facing unplanned pregnancies, trying to prevent abortion, and also counseling fathers of unplanned pregnancies, and also those who have had abortions. So I hope you can support that cause and grab one of those baby bottles on your way out today. And just a reminder, too, that the new daily bread is out and is sitting in the back. That's the June, July, and August daily bread devotional is back there now, too. Any other announcements before we go on this morning? Yeah. Free dinner for anybody who volunteers for all 5 days. I mean, what more motivation do you need? Right? And not just five dinners, and really good dinners at that. All righty. Well, let's begin our worship service then with our call to worship today, which comes from Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verses 4 to 5. You can see that on the screen or in your bulletins, but let's read that out loud together. sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exalt before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. Yes, let's do just that. We'll sing to our wonderfully righteous God with our praise choruses this morning. All right, I invite you to turn with me now to our first hymn this morning, hymn number 7 in your hymnals. Hymn number 7 is, "We Praise Thee, O God, Our Redeemer." And as you're finding that, I'll invite you to please rise as we sing this hymn together. That great Redeemer of ours, of course, has revealed himself, who he is and what he's done through Holy Scripture. And to bring Scripture to us this morning, I'll invite up Eric Coleman, who's going to share with us. Thank you.
Today I'll be reading from Hosea 14. And I just want to say thank you to Pat and Eve. While I did have this picked out ahead of time, he always does remind whoever the scripture reader is that day as they're walking in. So I think that has saved one or two of us over the years. Hosea 14, 1 through the end of the chapter. "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, 'Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips.' Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say, 'Our gods,' to what our hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love with them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him. I will like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them."
Thank you, Eric. Great reminder this morning from that, and from our call to worship today, we are reminded that our God is a God who is devoted to the weakest. To the weakest. He speaks about the fatherless, about the orphan. He speaks about the widow and the poor and the foreigner, those that tend to be forgotten and neglected by society. God cares about. But it's also a beautiful reminder of the greater work that he did, which is to be our Savior, to save us, not simply from the enemies of this world, from that one great enemy, Satan himself, who makes us all weak, who makes us all in need of his salvation. So, wonderful reminder this morning. Well, now is the time when we get to come together in prayer, and because of the work God has done to save us, he invites us to pray to him and bring all of our concerns, our petitions, our worries, and our rejoicings to him. And we get to do that together as a family this morning. And so before we go to prayer, I would ask if there are any special prayer requests that you'd like to share together this morning. Oh. Yeah, for sure. I won't add anything to that. Thank you. Sure will. Oh, good, good. Well, we'll certainly be praying for them, for their comfort, and during this time. Thank you. Yes. Sometimes it's easy to take for granted the freedom and the safety that we have as Christians, not enjoyed by many around the world. Thank you. Chemo now. Okay. You know that's hard on a body, so we'll keep her in our prayers. Thank you. Praying for Bill. Bill, right? Yeah. All right, thank you. Yeah. You bet. Thank you. Okay. For sure, for sure. Thank you. Yeah, we'll be praying for that. That's, boy, that would definitely be a relief for him if that can be healed up. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so great you could join us, Kay. I wasn't going to draw attention to you, so I'm glad somebody else did. So I really wanted to. Oh, great. Traveling Tuesday. This is terrible, I know. You have to remind me your first name again. Carol, of course. All those names get up there and they spin around and get confused. Alrighty, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and most holy and perfectly just Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning you've given us. We thank you for carrying each and every one of us safely through the night. And we just pray your blessings over this worship service, that through it you would bring us your word, that you would instruct us, that you would correct us, that you would guide us, and that you would strengthen us in the one true faith. Lord, we confess to you that each and every one of us here has sinned against you. We've sinned against you in the way we think, in the way we act, and in the way we speak. And so, Lord God, as sinners, we come to you for your mercy, which you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of forgiveness that he bought by his sacrifice, and for the promise of everlasting life, which he showed us through his resurrection. Our God, we thank you for his care, for his intercession, as he remains with you now, alive at your right hand. Lord, because of this work he has done for us, you have healed the division that existed between us. And you ask us to pray to you as a child we come to his loving Father. And so, Lord, we bring these prayers to you. We thank you for Kay being able to visit with us today. Thank you for the ways that God is using her and moving her towards missions. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that she will have to bring your gospel to those remote corners of the world. Lord, we pray for Jeannie and her battles with this pseudo-gout. Lord, we pray that you would heal her and give her relief from the pain and discomfort that happens there. And, Lord, we pray for her family as they care for her. And we pray that they would have patience and wisdom and caring for her and ministering to her during this time. Lord, we pray for Travis as it sounds like he's in his last days. We pray for the family as they surround him and care for him. Lord, we pray that you give them comfort and give them wisdom to minister to him in the way that you would. And Lord, we just pray that Travis would rest comfortably in the knowledge of you as Savior. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing persecution for your name, Lord. We pray for safety. Pray for encouragement for them, for steadfastness in the face of danger. And Lord, most of all, that in everything that they do and everything that is done to them, your name would be glorified and your message of salvation would go forth through them. Lord, pray for Marilyn and the chemotherapy that she was going through. Lord, pray that that would be beneficial, that you would heal her through it, and that you would reduce the side effects that come through this and keep her comfortable and strong in the midst of all of this. Lord, we pray for Bill and his struggles with heart failure. We pray that the doctors and nurses would be guided in a successful course of treatment. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for healing for him, that you would make your healing power manifest in him, and that your name would be brought glory. Lord, we thank you for returning Viral to us today. We thank you that he's able to join with us and worship with us. And thank you for just the opportunity to see him again and enjoy his company. Lord, we pray for your guidance over this new marriage between Dakota and Jackie. And We pray that, Lord, you would give them wisdom as they face this new life together. We pray that you would show them your forgiveness, which will be a model for the forgiveness they can show each other. And Lord, we pray for the Hall family as they travel back from this wedding, and pray that you keep them safe and that they wouldn't even see danger along the way. Lord, we pray for Scott as he faces this new radiation treatment. Lord, we pray that you would heal him through it, that it would have its proper effect, and that he would have an easier time swallowing, and that the tumor would be reduced. And ultimately, Lord, we just pray that you would remove every trace of cancer from his body and heal him thoroughly, again, to the glory of your holy name. Lord, we thank you for bringing us Carol and having her worshiping and fellowshipping with us. We thank you that you brought her here safely. And Lord, we pray for safe travels for her as she hits the road Tuesday. Lord, we pray again that you keep her safe and return her home. Lord God, we pray for all of those who have recently suffered losses. We especially think of Harold and the Chelta family. We think of Carnell and all of his family and all of Rita's family. Pray that you continue to bring them comfort and heal them from the pain of these losses. Lord, we pray you continue to work healing in Doris and that you give her strength. And again, Lord, we thank you and give you praise for the healing you've shown in Tina, and pray that healing would continue. Lord, we pray for Charles and his battles with cancer. And we pray that you would give him strength and encouragement in the days to come. Lord, we pray for Larry and his ongoing struggles with health. And we pray that you would keep him in your care, that you would give him healing and give him strength. Too, Lord, we pray for Erin. We pray that you would give her strength each and every day, that you would continue to strengthen her and bring her wellness. And too, Lord, we pray for all of those who are not with us today, especially those who are ill. We pray that you would give them healing. And we pray for those who are traveling, that you would keep them safe and return them to us safe and sound. Lord, we pray for this church, for this congregation. We pray that as you proclaim your word to us and strengthen us in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would embolden us, that you would give us the conviction to go out into this world on this wonderful mission you have given us, that we would proclaim your name, your gospel, to a broken and sinning world. Our God, we pray all these prayers, thanking you for this opportunity to pray together, and thanking you that you are hearing and answering each and every one of them according to your perfect will. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll invite you now to turn with me to our next hymn this morning, which is hymn number 269. 269 is Nothing But the Blood. I'll invite you to please rise again as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Behold again, nothing but the
Seated. Our scripture reading from the epistles today comes from 1 Peter 4. I'll be reading verses 12 through 19. Peter is one of those little books. And I usually mark it with my bookmark because it is so little and hard to find. And so instead, I will be talking awkwardly as I find 1 Peter in my Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or a thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. But it is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with great difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator, in doing what is right. A very appropriate text as we reflect on the bad news coming out of Egypt and the knowledge of the persecuted church throughout the world. Doesn't come as a surprise to God and something that was warned us by Christ. But we do have this wonderful promise that it is to glorify God's name. Well, this time I'll invite our ushers come forward as we continue our praise of God with our offerings. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise your name and recognize that you are the giver of all good things, that you have provided for us and cared for us and given to us in abundance. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give back a little bit of what is already yours. And we pray that you would take these gifts, accept them, and multiply them, and help us to use them as you would have them used. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our next hymn today is number 334. Hymn number 334 is Be Still My Soul. And again, as you're finding that, I'll invite you to please rise as you're able, and we'll sing this hymn together. Please remain standing as we turn to Scripture this morning, which today will come from John 17, John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles. You got one handy, John 17, 1 through 11. And this is what is known as the high priestly prayer. A lot of people call it the high priestly prayer. This is what Jesus prays shortly before he is to be taken away and crucified. And so right here we have the very beginning of this prayer. This is John 17, verses 1 through 11, reading in Jesus' name. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given to me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know everything you have given me is from you, For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that. They believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. So did you follow all that? You've got glorify the Son, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. I glorified you on the earth. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have been glorified in them. Are you lost yet? This stuff gets a little confusing. In this passage, it's easy to get all twisted up in who's glorifying who and how they glorified the other. But that's not the half of it. You gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. The man who you gave me out of the world, they were yours and you gave them to me. Everything you have given me is from you, for the words which you gave me, I have given to you. I've given to them. Those whom you have given me, they are yours. All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me. Okay, so who belongs to who? Who belongs to who? And who gave who to who and to whom? If you're confused about what all's going on in this text here, you're not alone. I had to read it a bunch of times over and over to really figure out what's being said. It's kind of like the pronoun game. He, they, them, it, who. I guess that's why I get paid the big bucks. So I get to distill all that down and bring it to you on a Sunday morning, trying not to confuse you in the process. So to understand Jesus' prayer here, that what a prayer it is. What a prayer it is. This is, of course, what I said before, the beginning of what is known as the high priestly prayer, the prayer that Jesus Christ, our high priest, prays to the Father on our behalf. That's pretty awesome to consider right there. If you've ever had somebody praying for you, you know what an encouragement that is, how comforting that is. Just to know that someone else is pleading your case before God, that's wonderful. How much more awesome is it to know that Jesus Christ prayed, and I believe still prays, this prayer for all of his disciples? All who call him Lord and trust in him for forgiveness are prayed for by our Lord Jesus Christ. As comforting as it is, and as encouraging as it is to have someone else pray for you, how much more to know that Christ himself prayed this prayer for you. But getting back to it, to understand Jesus' prayer here, it needs to be placed in its context. Right before this, Jesus is sharing some parting words with his disciples, promising them the Holy Spirit, fortifying them for when persecution comes, encouraging them in prayer. And it all ends right before this with that wonderful promise, take heart, I have overcome the world. And so it's this overcoming the world that gives Christ the authority to make these prayers to the Father, and to make them knowing that they are perfectly in line with the Father's will. And by means of this prayer, he also explains how it could be that he has overcome the world. And in this prayer, he continues to overcome the world. Now, the basis of his overcoming the world is found in Jesus Christ's relationship with the Father. That wonderful mystery of the Trinity is at least partly explained, partly revealed in this prayer. The union between Father and God the Father and God the Son, where there are not two gods but one God, and yet revealed to us in two distinct persons, this mystery which the human mind cannot comprehend but accepts on faith, is revealed in part by this prayer. And because this is such an incomprehensible mystery, that's the very reason why sorting out the glory and the giving here can be a little confusing. So let's start with Jesus' request, where he says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." So now that right there tells us volumes about who Jesus Christ is. This man, Jesus, who was born out of Mary's womb 33 years ago before this happened, who was conceived in her 9 months prior to that, whose life is about to come to an end, this man Jesus is telling us that he existed with the Father from even before the world was created. He's telling us that he existed in eternity right alongside God the Father. Now, who can claim to be eternal but God? And what's more, we hear that he shared in the Father's glory as well. The glory that only the one true God possesses. That glory was his from eternity. The glory of God the Father is the glory of God the Son. Now, if you're expecting me to explain how this works, how this can be, I'm going to leave you disappointed. It's a mystery. How can the one true God's one true glory be said to apply to two persons, the Father and the Son? I can't explain it. I just get the honor of sharing this wonderful news, this wonderful truth with you, and joining with you in accepting it and believing it and staking my very life on it, all on account of faith. But here's the next little brain teaser. Jesus possessed this glory from before time began. And now this glory isn't something that can be lost. It's not something that is given up while still remaining to be God. Now certainly Jesus willingly allowed himself to be limited by the weakness of human flesh, veiling that glory in order to come to sinful man. But he always had and always will have the same glory as the Father. Now, if he already possesses this glory, why does he ask the Father to give it to him? You ever wonder about that? If he's already got it, why does he ask for it? Well, the answer to that is actually quite simple. We know that Jesus was fully God and fully man. That's another mystery we can't explain. I'm not going to get into that one. And as fully God, he was already glorified, full of all the glory of the Godhead. But in the flesh, he was not going to be glorified until after his death and resurrection, when he would live again in glory at the right hand of the Father. He asked the Father to glorify him because he knew that's exactly what the Father was going to do. Glorify Jesus Christ in the flesh so that he would live and reign forever as our perfect and eternal high priest. The one who is making intercession for us continually before the Father, just like he is doing with this prayer right here. And so it's with this glory, that the Father gives to him that he possessed from time immemorial. It's with this glory that Jesus makes his petitions to the Father. And he's making these requests in all the authority of the Son of God, the one who shares all things in common with the Father. And this, Jesus prays for his disciples. What comfort. What encouragement. Jesus has overcome the world And he has overcome the world on behalf of all of his disciples. And don't forget, that's us too. And he has done so because of the fact that the Father has given the Son authority over all flesh. That was the Father's authority to give. And that authority was given to Jesus Christ. Now, there's more mystery right there. In giving this authority to the Son, it isn't that the Father no longer possesses such authority. He didn't give it away. It is a gift that is given while still remaining in possession of it. And what that means is that all flesh, that's all of us, all of sinful humanity, is under the authority of Christ. He has the authority to bind that flesh to its sin because of unbelief. And he has the authority to release that flesh from its sin because of faith in his death and resurrection. The world, the whole world, with its taint of sin that has infected each and every one of us, has been overcome by Christ. And in his authority, he has removed that sin from each and every one of us. And who is it that gets released from their sins by the authority of this glorified Christ? All those who belong to the Father and who are given to the Son. All those who, by the grace of God, have been granted faith in Jesus Christ are children of God, claimed by him, and forever in his possession. And he gives all such children into the possession of his Son. This grace of God is given to all of us who believe through precisely what Jesus says the Father also gave to him, the Word. He says, "The men whom you gave me out of the world, they were yours, and you gave them to me. Everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them." In this great and wonderful mystery that is the giving and receiving between the Son and the Father, Jesus Christ is given the words of the Father. Those words which create faith in his disciples, placing them in the ownership of God the Father, which he also then gives to God the Son. And so by means of summarizing, Jesus says, "All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine." The words that Jesus spoke as he taught the disciples about who he is and what God the Father has done through him, those words are Jesus's and the Father's alike. All people who have been saved by the faith granted through the power of these words are Jesus's people. And they are the Father's people, both at the same time. And the divine glory that existed from eternity past belongs to God the Son, just as it belongs to God the Father. All of the attributes of God. Remember, he said, "All that is mine is yours, and all that is yours is mine." All the divine attributes of God, his grace, his mercy, his justice, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. All these attributes belong to God the Son and God the Father alike. All creation, all powers and authorities under the Son, all authority, even over hell and death, belong to Jesus and the Father alike. And so it's after this stunning and this awesome revelation that Jesus then prays that the Father would keep them. Keep them. Keep your disciples. And that word keep, it's rich with meaning. Jesus prays that God would keep us. That means guard us, protect us, and never let us go. Is it any wonder why Jesus prays this prayer at this time? With the exception of the time in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus will spend no more time with his disciples, at least physically. He's just about to complete the work the Father sent him to do, willingly submitting himself to betrayal, arrest, torture and death. The disciples, the ones he is speaking to right now, and the disciples of all future generations going on up through today, will be left alone in this broken, sinful, and hostile world. But not really alone. Not really alone. With Christ in us, and we in him, and by extension with the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus leaves us in the world for a purpose. That purpose being to bring his precious word into a world enslaved to sin and death. But leaving us like this, he prays. He prays in perfect accordance with the will of the Father that we would be kept by him, guarded by him, protected by him. And more specifically, that we would be kept in his name. What a marvelous name that is. The name above all names. Of course, when Jesus uses the word name, he's not simply referring to the word God or Yahweh or Elohim or Andy. You know God's name is Andy, right? Andy walks with me and he talks with me. Sorry. Thank you. I'll be here all week. It was getting a little heavy. I decided things need to lighten up a little bit. He's not praying in a specific name. He's not praying that we be kept in a particular pronunciation of syllables. Rather, he's praying that we be kept in the knowledge of everything that has been revealed about the one true God. Everything that was revealed through the words, the actions, and the very being of Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we're left in a world that is hostile to God, that is hostile to God's word. It seeks to attack all the children of God just as much as it attacked God's only begotten Son. There are plenty of opportunities for the world to try to twist, to maim, to reject, or even destroy the word, the name of God, God the Father. To do all this to that name as it was revealed through God the Son. And if we were to be left to our own devices, we would fail in keeping his name in mere moments. But we aren't left to our own devices. It's not up to us in our own power and cunning to keep the name of God. Through Jesus' prayer here, we know that it is not our own strength that keeps us in God, but it is the infinite power of God keeping us in himself. We serve a living God who, rather than teaching us what we need to know and then going off and leaving us on our own, he continually and actively works to keep us in his name. Keeping us in that glorious name, the one given to and shared with our King and High Priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that by being kept in that name, we would have a unity that shows us to be one. A unity that imitates the oneness that exists between Jesus Christ and God the Father. A unity that imitates that mysterious unity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The unity of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns forever, making intercession on our behalf, protecting us, caring for us, and creating unity in us, now and forever. What a blessed prayer this is. Let us pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, our prayers are stumbling, weak. When compared to your prayer for us, Lord God, words can barely summarize just how wonderful it is to know that your Son, our Lord, prayed this prayer for us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus in his life lived the perfect life that we were unable to live, that he died the death that we were supposed to die, and that he rose to life again to give us life. We thank you that he did all this because he is in you and you are in him, and you and him are one. Our God, we pray that you would continue to keep us in your name, and by your power, the power above all powers, we would be kept in the one true faith that brings us into everlasting life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, that name is A Mighty Fortress. And so I'll invite you to turn with me to our last hymn this morning, number 333, A Mighty Fortress. And please rise again as we sing this hymn together. Thank you. Now receive this benediction. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.